One Step at a Time. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. One step at a time. We are so encouraged to live a very busy, very fast, and very active life. And because we're invited, encouraged, and rather coerced to live a very fast life, we sometimes go ahead of our ability. We go ahead of our feeling comfort. We are out of our comfort zone. Now, do we want to do this? Do we want to do this? We get ourselves so many things we want to do. We have so many projects we want to do. We have so many things that we must do. And then we get all flustered and frustrated. We feel, how can I ever do it? How can I ever accomplish all these things? And then we say to ourselves, we have the ability to do one thing at a time, and we have the ability to do it well. Now, it's true that some things have to sort of percolate. They have to sort of go along at their own rate of speed, and we have to wait upon them. And so we wait. But meanwhile, we're doing other things. But have you ever noticed that the minute you come back to a project you're working on, you completely let go of all the other things you're working on, and you work on that one project. You work on that project all by itself, without any frustration, without any hurriedness, without any feel that they gotta rush. Just with the feeling that, yes, that's what I want to do. Now, there are many times I say to myself, gee, I'd like to sweep the front porch. Gee, I'd like to go in the house and vacuum it. Gee, I'd like to go and give the gang a hand in doing this and doing that. Gee, I'd like to go and take care of this. Or I'd like to fix that idea. And I'd like to work on this project. And little by little, you put things into perspective. And as you put things in perspective, you just do it step by step. Now, I walk down the steps coming into the monastery, and as I walk down the steps, I see where Rex has dug into the side of the hill and just had himself a wonderful time. But he spread sand everywhere. And a couple of days, I walk over that sand, and I come down those steps, and I think to myself, I want to sweep that up. And so one day, I started out a little early, and I put Rex in the house, in the monastery, and I go in the garage and get a broom, and then I sweep the steps clean. And they're very nice. I haven't done to the very edges. I haven't picked up all the sand. I haven't made it absolutely clean, but I made the steps generally clean and nice. And then I come to the house, and I am ready to come in for breakfast. And I look, and there's Ellen. She's outside sweeping the porch and the patios. She's taking care of these little details here and there. She's picking up things here and there. Just taking a few minutes before breakfast and doing these things. She comes a little early so she can do these things. But she does them one at a time. She doesn't say, oh my goodness, I have so many things to do. I have so many things to do. If she did that, she'd be frustrated and tense, and her body would not function in a harmonious way, and she'd come down with many illnesses. But because she is able to take one thing at a time and do it to her satisfaction, or at least to her satisfaction at that moment, because obviously she didn't get the vacuum cleaner out and take up every little corner, she didn't go and mow the lawn, she didn't sweep the lawn, rake the lawn and clean things up right away, she didn't do 1,001 things which might have been done at the same time, she just did the one thing at a time that she wanted to do. And when she got done with that, she put the tools away in the garage, and then she thought to herself, I want to straighten out that furniture. That one leg there is a little off, so I'm going to put a stone under there and bounce it out. And so she puts the stone under there and bounces it out. And always little things one at a time. When you see it, do it and be done with it. one at a time. If we worry about all the things we have to do or we like to do, and really that's the truth, there's nothing you have to do. If you get sick and go to the hospital, somebody will carry on what you were doing, or it'll be just waiting for you to come back. And if you never come back, then if it wasn't important to do, if it isn't done. And don't worry about it. But you don't have to go to the hospital to experience the fact that you're not indispensable. No one is indispensable. Nothing is indispensable. Nothing has to be done. As we do all things in life, one step at a time, as we do all things, just one little step in the direction of what we want to do. I look at myself here, I'm surrounded by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 computers, and perhaps in the closet I have 2 more. And then I have a printer here, and I have 1, 2, 3 telephones, and I have 4 piles of papers that I'm working on my desk. And then in my cupboards, I'm cleaning out my cupboards, and I have 3 stacks of papers there, well, more than that, but in one area. And I'm going through that. Well, the other morning, I woke up early, and I didn't feel like going back to sleep, so I got up. And I went to the closet, and I started cleaning out those 4 stacks of papers that I've had there since back in 2004 and 2008. And I went through them, and I sorted them out. Well, when I got done, yeah, that stack, which was about 14 inches high, is only about 2 inches. And even that stuff was not imperative. Those are things that they can go by the way. They've served their purpose, and now let them go. Let them go. And as you let them go, your house is so wonderful because you're doing things one thing at a time. You're doing things happily, joyfully, peacefully, wonderfully. And so many things, if we just do them when they come to our attention, and then set them aside, be done with it, and go on to what the next thing is we want to do. And then all of a sudden we say to ourselves, I think I'll go into Apple and I'll take their one-on-one program, which I have bought, and it's a year program. For $99, they can come in as many times as you want and learn all about whatever you want to learn about the Apple. They'll teach it to you. And that's wonderful. Of course, it's a long drive going down to the Apple store from here. It's an hour trip, but that's a 2-hour trip to get an hour lesson. But the lesson is worth it because then I can apply it to so many wonderful things with my Apple computers. And the Apple computer is such a joyous thing. I was just thinking this morning, one thing at a time. I was thinking, Ellen was saying she'd like to have computers in the various areas where we have guests, where our students come to visit us, our monks come to visit the monastery here. And we have a number of different places. There's 2 places in the monastery where we could have a little computer for our guests. And then there are other places. And then I thought, now, we can take all of the old PCs we have, but they're inadequate. We can take all of our old Apples that we have, but we stepped up on new Apples at the price of the new Apple, which was maybe about $3 or $4 more than it would have been to upgrade the old, and then we would have still had the old. But we have the new. Now, are we going to take our old computers and try to make them work for our guests as they come? Or are we going to get ourselves 3 or 4 extra little portable computers that we can put in the various places where we have guests, and then they will have the Apple computer? But Elm says, everybody's not Apple, some of them are PC. Well, we don't have to provide anything for anybody. People come here for meditation, for learning to touch their heart, to look within their soul. And if they have their particular personal computer that they like very much, bring it along. Bring it along and work on it. Otherwise, use what we got here. And if we have an Apple, and you don't know Apple, we'll show you how to use it. And within an hour, you're going just like you always did with your PC. But you have one problem. When you go back home, you'll never be satisfied with the old PC again once you've worked on an Apple. But that's just the way life is. But one thing at a time. One thing at a time. I come into the house, and Ingeborg says, "Herb, my email doesn't work on my computer." And I say, "All right." And I was just going to sit at the table and have a cup of coffee, but no, I get up. I go into Ingeborg's office, and I go onto her computer and turn it on and look at her email and check out a few places where problems have been known to be before. And lo and behold, I say, "Hey, there's one solution I must always try first before I do anything else. Turn off the computer and leave it off for a moment or two." The computer has a way of readjusting itself, remellowing itself, resetting itself when it's turned off. And then turn it back on again. Well, whenever Ingeborg has a problem, I go in and do that. And then after a few moments, I turn the computer back on again, and everything is copacetic. I say, "Ingeborg, come in here." So Ingeborg comes into her office, and I say, "Ingeborg, sit down. Now, turn off your computer." So she turns off her computer. She goes into the proper procedure and turns it off. I said, "Now just wait a moment. Take a couple deep breaths." Just like your computer is taking a couple deep breaths and getting everything organized. "Okay, and now turn it back on again. All right, now try your email." "Oh, it works great." "Well, I want you to do that for yourself. When your computer doesn't work for any reason, shut it off. Give it time to readjust itself, and then turn it back on again. If you've done that once or twice and it doesn't function, then call me. But if you've done that first, you won't have to call me hardly ever." "Oh, Herb, you're so wonderful. Oh, Herb, all I did is say shut off the computer and turn it on again. Oh, Herb, you're so wonderful." But you see, when we do the simplest things, people really appreciate it because it lets them function. But I cannot turn it off for her. I cannot do this for her. I must have her do it so that she sees one thing at a time, how simple it is to do it and how simple it is to have it done. And I do that with her as an exercise, maybe three or four times in a row, turning it off, turning it on, turning it off, turning it on, turning it off, turning it on. And pretty soon she feels very comfortable in doing it. And she does it, but one thing at a time. So I finished doing the little chore for Ingeborg, and she's happy and I'm happy. And I go sit at the table, and Sylvia rushes over to bring me a cup of coffee and says, "Here's a cup of coffee, Herb." And I said, "Thank you very much. That's very lovely. Made just the way I want it." But one thing at a time. Sylvia is in the midst of making breakfast. She's frying my eggs. She's getting all the things ready for everybody. And she's working at the stove because the breakfast and lunch are her proven area of expertise. And so she just takes care of every little thing, and she stops frying her egg for a minute, makes my coffee, brings it over, goes back, her egg is ready to turn, whatever is ready to be done, everything is ready to be perfect, and she serves the eggs in ideal form every single day. Every single day. Now, sure, she's been doing it for years, but at times we can want to rush things, so we turn the temperature up from average to medium to high or something like that so we can get it done faster, and we make improper eggs. And I say, just one thing at a time. If you're rushed, stop everything else and just do whatever you think is important, and other things will get done in their right time. Are you ready to live your life doing one thing at a time? Are you ready to experience how wonderful it is to do one thing at a time? And doing one thing at a time, and doing it well, and doing it so that you feel good about yourself. There's no rush. There's no rush. It's only right now. There's no tomorrow. There's no yesterday. There's no wishes that you could do. Just do whatever you want to do, one thing at a time. And as you do one thing at a time, everything works out in divine order. This is the way it works. This is the way it is. This is the way life is. It works for me. And I'm a very happy fellow. I love you. I love you. I love you.